I welcome you to open your Bible to 2 Timothy. I'm finally getting back to Timothy. We started there a long time ago, and the study was interrupted with several other messages, such as communion. But just for fun, they said there's going to be a weight set there, and the man that can lift the most doesn't pay the admission fee. Doesn't that sound like fun? That alone, I think, is an appeal. Not only to mention they had steak and some other necessary food groups for lunch. But when it comes to strength, yeah, we can talk. We can measure physical strength that way. But how do you measure spiritual strength? How do you think it is? Or is it possible to measure spiritual strength? And I'm not suggesting we should try to find out who the strongest spiritually person is. But my conclusion is the strongest man or woman here in the spiritual sense is the one who can face difficulty after difficulty after difficulty. In other words, wait and still be faithful through it all. That's what I want to be, and I trust that's what you want to be. The title of the message, Be Strong. Be Strong. I really should get the children up and rerun the DDS song. Okay? Children, let's do it. You can stay where you're at, but I want you to echo it really loud. Okay? Can you remember it? Well, what were they again? Be what? What's the first one? Say it out loud, quickly. Okay? And then be what? Okay, let's try it. I'm going to say, be bold, and you echo it loud. Ready? Be bold.
Be bold.
Be strong.
Be strong.
Okay, adults, you see if you can match that. Be bold.
Be bold.
Be strong.
Be strong.
Children, you get one more chance. Okay? Be bold.
Be bold.
Be strong.
Be strong.
Yeah, thank you. You know what hit me? That's what we've been looking at in 2 Timothy. Chapter 1 was all about be bold. The title of the message was the call to courage. And now if you're in 2 Timothy, chapter 2, the first verse, now therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So, that's what I want to talk about this morning. 2 Timothy is a powerful book. I don't know if you remember, but I started the study with a little comments on last words. And do you know that this is the last words of Paul? You're looking at 2 Timothy. It's his last words to his dear, or the last recorded words that we have, or written words that he wrote to his dear spiritual son, Timothy. He's nearing the end of his life, and we're going to get to the verse where he says, I've fought a good fight, I kept the faith, and I'm ready to be offered. But this is not just a letter of encouragement. There's a lot of that packed in chapter 1. It's a spiritual charge to remain faithful and endure and pass on the gospel with unwavering focus. Now imagine Paul in a Roman prison. He's cold, well, maybe, and he's alone. You know the very last verses in chapter 1 where he longed for company. And there he is, in prison. There's an urgency in his tone because the gospel must go on. He knew it. And the world desperately needs faithful men and women to carry it. And I want us to catch the burden this morning. Chapter 1, be bold. Chapter 2, be strong. Okay? Here we go. There are 7 pictures in chapter 2 that I'm going to very briefly just touch on. Okay? There's 7 word pictures in chapter 2. Now, I'll say right up front, I will not do justice to this chapter that is dripping with truths that I'll have to just, some of them won't even get mentioned. Sorry about that. But for the sake of time, I'm going to quick look at seven word pictures that Paul uses. And remember, the theme and the thrust is be strong. We need strong men. We need strong women. And we need strength because there's difficulties that we need to overcome. And strength, by the way, in the spiritual sense, is quite an irony. Because when God's strength is most manifest, Paul said this himself, he said, his strength is made perfect. Can somebody finish it? In my weakness. So, I should even say this, but I saw an ad that I almost clicked on, but I know better. The ad said, first of all, it showed a picture of a man that wasn't in shape. Let's just say it like that. Take one pill a day, and in a certain amount of time, a real strong, ripped man. That's the world's idea, okay? A strength. And, you know, I wonder how spiritually strong I really am. And I wonder how spiritually strong we really are. And I'm convinced that we won't really know until we embrace difficulty after difficulty and how we face them. The cry from Paul is be strong, and it's in grace. You know, this world will say, follow yourself or follow your heart. How many of you heard that? Follow your heart. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, follow me. You know, this world will say, be true to yourself. What does Jesus say? Deny yourself. Deny yourself and follow Jesus. Those are the ones that are in the kingdom. The world says, believe in yourself. Jesus says, believe in me. So, we're talking about be strong in what? In grace. And I will not be able to unpack grace like I should, but one thing I know is the older I get, the more appreciation I have for grace. I wouldn't be here without grace. You wouldn't be here without grace. You're never saved without faith through grace. It's grace. And I'll just say it like this. The older I get and the longer I walk with Jesus, the more I am realizing that we need grace. We need the grace of God. We need saving grace, and we need enabling grace. Somebody said grace, this is my favorite definition of grace. It is God's power, or the grace of God is the power of God to do the will of God. And I believe that. Grace is the power. Some say unmerited favor, and that's true, but it's weak. Because I have a neighbor that doesn't know Jesus, and his garden gets rained on just like mine does. That's unmerited favor. Grace is unmerited favor, don't get me wrong. But I believe the true definition of grace is God's power to do the will of God, to carry out his will in and through us, through whatever comes our way. Seven pictures, quickly. Number one is in verses 1 and 2. It's, I'm going to call it the picture of the steward. I already read verse 1 and verse 2, and the things that you have heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. So the picture I get is, Timothy, I gave it to you. I got it, I gave it to you, now pass it on. And that's what stewardship really is. God's kingdom is not ours, but we are called to pass on what we've been given. So the picture of a steward is powerful. And brothers, sisters, it is good for us to be in situations where I don't have it. I just don't have what it takes. Have you ever been there? That's so different than, I got this. Now, there's balance. Every subject you talk about needs balance. But when you don't have... You're going to visit someone and you have no idea what you're going to say. I mean, I talked to somebody this morning that's preaching in another congregation. He says, I feel I'm empty as can be. That's grace. We need grace. Do you ever get down to write, sit down to write a letter? Maybe a heavy one. But you got to say it. You need grace. Do you ever teach a Sunday school with fidgety children? I mean, the list goes on. We need grace. Grace is God's power to do the will of God. So, a steward. And there's so much more in there. The call to get others involved. We need faithful men who are able to take this powerful message that we have. And I just want to thank you all for your contribution. I was so inspired this morning into so many thoughts that I... But all those thoughts, we need men who are able to teach others, because Paul's going to die. And Paul knew that this can't stop. Here we are, 2025. And if the Lord tarries another 100 years, we need men, some of the children that are sitting here, you're teaching them in Sunday school. We can't waste time. Stewards. Number two, soldier. Endure hardness, verse 3, as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No man that wars entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who has chosen him to be a soldier. Oh, I love the soldier mentality. Even though the fight is so different than the world will portray, one of my favorite songs, forgive me for my repetition, but I'm going to say it again. My dad would turn 91 today. July 6th is his birthday. And in my Bible, I have two things. I have his favorite song, and I have his, whatever you call these things, and on the back it is his favorite song. And forgive me for my repetition, but am I a soldier of the cross? I can see him walking through the barns, bellow. He didn't have the best singing abilities, but I could feel his heart. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And should I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? That's we're talking about a soldier mentality. Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil. I'll work hard. I'll sweat. I'll drip with sweat. I'll endure the pain. We talked about the pain this morning. That's when we need refuge, supported by thy word. I miss my dad. Endure hardness as a good soldier. This, what we're talking about is not for wimps. It's not for pansies. This fight is real. This fight has enemies. And we need a fight. And that's the call. Be strong. Be strong in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Away with the American dream mentality. Pursuit of happiness is woven into the Constitution. I don't know if that's... I can hardly dare just think that's my pursuit of happiness. I do believe in equality and the love, ground is level, but... The pursuit. I want to be a fighter, not just all day at the picnic on the playground. I like pleasure. Don't get me wrong. I really like pleasure. But the problem is, we're going to get that to, I think that's the next chapter. When you love pleasure more than God. Okay, the picture is fight. And there's several ideas here. Number one is, don't get entangled with the affairs of this life. Now, one time I did a word study on that, and I was amazed. If you flip back a couple pages to 1 Timothy, it says there's a few things that we should not have our adornment in. Okay, and one of them it's not with braided hair, not with gold, not with pearls, not with costly array. But when I did a word study on the broided hair, and that's the exact same Greek word. So I know there are times you take care of hair so it's not a mess. Okay, don't misunderstand me.
But when it's entangled and entangled and entangled, it takes some work to untangle. That's the exact same word as a soldier here. The same word is, don't get all entangled with the affairs of this life. Now, I had two neighbors that went off to service. And I don't know much about them, but I know one thing. Our elderly neighbor passed away. Her name was Janice. And she had a grandson, or maybe even great-grandson, named Adam, who spent a lot of time in our house. But I do remember this, that when she passed, they could hardly get a hold of him. And you know why? Because he wasn't. If every soldier would have a long to-do list, and it's about taking care of business back home, answering emails, and how effective would they be when the enemy pounces in? And that's the analogy that Paul is giving here about a soldier. Not be entangled with the cares of this life. And I don't know how to put all that into shoe leather. Two things that I thought of, very recent. One is I talked to somebody who is considering moving to the mission field. And he said, I don't know what to do. I got this piece of property that I just really like. Should I sell it? Well, I'm not going to tell you what to do with your real estate. But he was wrestling with the thought, is this going to entangle me? Is this going to hold me down? And in fact, I think that's one of the primary reasons why there's few workers in the fields, because we're tangled. And every person needs to decide how this is fleshed out in their life. Don't misunderstand me on this at all. I just heard a very powerful testimony yesterday. Some of you might know Dan Beil, our dear brother. Dan and Sill spent most of his life in ministry. And you know he passed away several years ago. Maybe you didn't. He was in the ministry at Lock Haven Church. And I just heard this about him. When they bought his burial lot to bury him and his wife, they said, this is the first piece of real estate we own. I'll chew on that one a long time. Don't misunderstand me. I don't think, I own property. Most of you own property. But I'm talking about the call to not be entangled. What does it look like? Every person has to answer that on their own. The call is be strong, like a steward, like a soldier. And our heartbeat is to please him who called us to be in the Lord's army. So, the next picture, and I'm going to step up the pace. The third picture is an athlete. I like sports. I'm not going to lie. I like to watch people compete. I like to see the discipline, the dedication. I like to see the skill. In fact, I've actually been amazed at what some humans can do as they compete. And God, Paul uses this analogy several times in the scripture. He says, in my words, look at the athlete. I read 1 Corinthians 9 this morning, and I was kind of inspired by that passage. But here in this, be strong. He says, if a man strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned except he strive lawfully. One little nugget verse there. And he's talking about the athlete. The athlete has rules that he needs to abide by. Every sport has them. And woe to the person that says, no, I'm going to do my own rules, my own thing. There, you can read of several people who won a medal, and then they were later stripped of it because they didn't abide by the rules. Ever hear of Jim Thorpe? I got one of the bunny trails that I just got in my studies. I read about Jim Thorpe. What he did is absolutely amazing. But as I understand it, where he competed, there was a rule that if you were paid for that, that disqualifies you. So in his past, he was paid. So this is for amateurs, not professionals. And he competed, and he won, and it was a big deal. And then he was stripped of it. I think I have my facts right. I read it. I speed read it. But Lance Armstrong, you've heard of him? He won the Tour de France 7 times and later was stripped of every title because he didn't abide by the rules. He was using illegal substances to give him what he needed to win. So what's the point for me as a soldier, for you as we're, be strong, abide by the rules. There are spiritual laws that we apply. And we live in a very independent society, and it scares me how application and principle are being separated. And that's a whole other subject. Every principle has to have an application. And that's where it is very good for us to think through everything we do and say. Take one. You sisters, I'm sure you ask, what's the thing on your head? I mean, the church didn't just come up with a, hey, let's do this kind of to mark us as a separate people. No. I believe in separation, but separation is going to happen as we transform our thinking and so on. Well, that, if I'm not careful, we'll spend too much time on this. There's a spiritual principle that requires an application. And I just want to encourage everyone to, when there's a principle in the Bible, how am I applying this? So there are spiritual laws. Anyway, that's the word from the athlete. Picture number 4, the farmer. And I grew up on a farm, so I know a little bit about this. And farmers... I should get you all to stand. There's not enough of you. I ought to get you to stand, and we should just give a standing ovation and clap and all a big ado. Because I like my cup of milk, and I don't like to get up at 4 o'clock for it. The farmers, they work. I grew up on a farm, and I know what it's like to work on a farm, put it that way. When you see a field that's producing well, that didn't just happen. There was intentional plowing, there was intentional planting, there was intentional cultivation, there was intentional harvesting, and I'm gonna guess that most farmers would say amen, even though they have air conditioning cab tractors that I only dreamed of when I was a child. No, I'm kidding. The picture of a farmer is contrasted in Proverbs when we are told to go by the field. Wait, did he say, I went by the field of the sluggard? I went by the field or the garden or the whatever of the slothful person. And lo, it was grown up with nettles. There was a wall there. I couldn't even see the wall. And he said at the end, he said, and therefore I received instruction. So the contrast is a farmer and a slothful man. And so somehow the picture of a farmer is given to motivate us to be strong. And maybe the farmers could do a whole lot more justice to this one. But it also says be a partaker of the fruit. And I don't know how to apply that other than maybe before you share the truths of the kingdom, you need to experience it yourself. By the way, the teacher gets far more than any student ever will. Maybe that's being a partaker. Maybe it's okay to harvest and eat while you're harvesting, because the Bible says the labor is worthy of his hire. So farmers, thank you. We get a lesson from the husbandman that laboreth must be first a partaker of the fruit. And then he says, consider what I say, the Lord give thee understanding. Now, I'm going to skip over, I'm sorry, verses 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, because it kind of is redundant to the soldier's call to suffer. Okay? Verse 11 and verse 12, it says, if we suffer. And there's so much in those verses, but I'm going to just kind of attach that to the picture of the soldier in his willingness to suffer. So I'm going to go down to verse 14. And the fifth picture is the workman. Now, some of us aren't farmers, but some of us go to the job, and we are workmen, okay? I remember one of the best illustrations that I've ever heard, or that stuck with me, on this passage, there was a man, I think it was at Myerstown. He came and he was speaking on this verse, and he said, he gave an illustration how he was working over the summer with his father-in-law, and they were installing, the cabinets were installed, and he was installing hardware on a cabinet. So you had this beautiful cabinet installed, and he's drilling the holes for the nice hardware. And to his dismay, his father-in-law came and said, "No, I told you the other, I don't know if it was the top or the bottom or the other, wrong side. He drilled holes on the entire cabinetry at the wrong spot." He said, "I was a worker that was ashamed." And had to be his father-in-law too. So we're called here to be a worker that doesn't need to be ashamed. And here, I think we're kind of back to this whole idea of the athlete and abiding by the rules. Do you ever go to a job site, those of you that get on job sites, and I remember when I started in flooring, I get to some of these commercial jobs, and there's usually a table with, I mean, it looked daunting, about 10 pages, huge pages of blueprints. I mean, I don't even know what they meant, but there was usually a foreman that was in charge, and all the workmen were busy carrying out the will of the master engineer that was responsible for the blueprint. So, and in a sense, that's exactly who we are. We're workmen. By the way, there is so much in this passage, verses 14 to 18. Number one, put in remembrance of them. Get everybody to remember and charge them before the Lord that they don't strive with words of no profit. I mean, if you're a job foreman and your workers are just arguing about something totally insignificant and they're not getting any work done, you are supposed, the job foreman should step in and take care of that problem. And that's exactly what, in this next picture of the workman, that's exactly what Paul is saying. Don't let that happen. Don't let them strive with words that don't have profit. That's what you don't do, but then you do two things. Number one, study. Oh my, there's so much you could do. I could say about study. I studied hard work. I told Joyce, I said, every time I'm supposed to study, I'll think of everything else I could do and should do, right? Anybody, yeah, I'll bet I have some amens to that. You think of everything else that physically, it's hard work. And at least, the bare bones minimum of study is to have your personal devotions. And why do most of us struggle with that too? Study to show yourself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth, so you're not ashamed. And then, by the way, shun, verse 16, shun vain babblings. Okay, that's the worker. Let's go to the sixth one. And I don't think I'm going to take the time to read verses 19 to 22, but the idea is a vessel. Now, it says in a great house, verse 20, there's vessels of good, gold, wood, some of wood, some of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. And here, I think this is the illustration in a nutshell, summarized. And most of us have been into a very great house, like a mansion. I think that's what great house, expensive, big house, everything there. There's different vessels there. You can go into that home and you'll probably find a piece of china that is there to put the delicate food on the table and serve the guests. And guess what? In the same house, there's probably going to be a garbage can. They're both vessels. They both are for a purpose. And I think that we think one is so much more important, and I'm not exactly sure how to unpack this, but I think that's the idea. But the real point of it is both vessels are supposed to be sanctified, are set for the purpose that they're created for. And in this point, Paul is saying, I think verses 21 and 22 flow right together. Flee youthful lusts. There's so many, okay, here's a vessel that was filled. Not even sure who filled it this morning, but thank you. There's some cool, refreshing water that is just what a dry throat needs, right? I remember somebody once told me, That's not fair. Some of you are thinking, I could use a swig too. Now I lost my train of thought. This is a vessel, and there's a purpose. I would be disappointed if I would see some real inappropriate residue in there. Or you get served at a nice restaurant and out comes something that is just dirty. I think the main gist beside verse 6, I mean the sixth point, the vessel, be clean. I'm handling the word of God this morning. Many of you handled the word of God this morning. Be clean. It's so inappropriate for us to be vessels that are sanctified and not clean. And the Holy Spirit will do an excellent job of showing us how to be clean. And the last one is be a servant. And I just want to highlight just a few things in these. I'm going to read these verses. Start at 23, verse 23 with me. But foolish and unlearned questions avoid, knowing they engender strife. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, not just the ones that treat you right, gentle to all men, apt to teach. And I think that means able and willing, patient, in meekness, instructing those that oppose themselves. If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by his will. I know I skipped so much, and we went over that so quickly, and there's so many nuggets that are not turned over. But I do pray that this simple attempt to look at 2 Timothy 2 with the emphasis of be strong will enable somebody out there or maybe sitting here or standing here to be recovered from the snare of the devil. Do we agree that there's a devil is very busy? There's a snares everywhere. Do you think if every one of us this morning, maybe in our quiet time, it would be, I mean, I could do it two ways. I could say, okay, anybody that's willing to be strong, stand. Or I could say, anybody that's willing to take this passage, the word of God, to heart before the Lord, go in your quiet time where nobody else sees you and say, Lord, I will be bold. I don't care if you let it ring and your neighbor hears you. Be bold. Be strong. Not in yourself, but in the grace that's in Christ Jesus. Maybe a simpler outline would be strong in grace, endure like a soldier, and keep your eyes on Jesus, and don't get sidetracked with all the meaningless talk in the world. But be strong, be bold, because the Lord your God is with you. I am not afraid. What is it? No, right? I am not dismayed, not me, because I'm going to walk in faith and victory. The strength is in grace, and it's in Jesus. And there's a world out there that is depending on our spiritual strength. God bless you. And let's all stand. I'll close in prayer. And you can have a song after that, and we can be dismissed. Jesus, you paid the price for the grace that we enjoy. And that grace is power. We are weak. We know it. But Lord, break us to the very core of our being, where we have absolutely no confidence in ourselves at all. And the strength that you offer, I believe, will flow through every one of us. And I believe that there will be recoveries from the snare of the devil. So together, as we close, we commit to be strong for you, Jesus. Dismiss us with your blessing and make us a blessing to many. In Jesus' name, amen.